Many are missing. There are others in your batch. You know, junior batch people are also missing. Where is... Okay. Then, rest, 8 people are supposed to be there. Deenbandhu Madhusudan Prabhu is around? Oh, right in front, see? I am unable to see you. Okay, fine. Hare Krishna. We will continue with this topic on tolerance. Last time we just gave a slight prelude to this topic of tolerance. Can somebody recollect some points about tolerance or the general prelude that we had about overall Vaishnava attitude, character, consciousness, emotion behind the expression? Yes.
I remember the analogy that you gave by Radha Swami. It was about the broken cup and pot. And how we can use the pot for different things, for drinking, eating. But once the pot is broken, then we have to put extra endeavor to fix the pot. And once the pot is fixed, then we have to take very great care about it so that we can use it again.
More care than you take for a new pot.
Usually, yes. So to take care, so to be among devotees, we have to be careful how we are dealing with the devotees. We need to put some effort to deal nicely with the devotees. But if we should not allow that we break the heart of another devotee. But if it so happens, then we have to put great endeavor to put it together somehow. And after it, till the end of our life, we have to be so supremely careful how we are dealing with that devotee.
Right. Very good.
So the whole teaching is that from beginning we should be very careful. And for that we need tolerance to live together.
It's Roshan Bro.
First of all, it was your realization in that at last in the lecture it was, we should not be the broken pot for someone else.
We can't be so extremely sensitive and unapproachable by other devotees.
Yeah.
Touch me not, Ari. We need to deal with him very carefully.
We should be very flexible and we should not be the
approachable.
Broken. And you also said emotion behind the expression. And nowadays in the companies, and you gave an example of air hostesses, they are so nice to us, but they are not, it's just their expression. It's not, if we see the their emotion behind the expression, it's nothing. So they are just doing it for money.
So example is fine.
We have to have emotions is mainly important. You also gave the examples of queens of Dwarka. When Krishna arrived at that place, they were not like hurrying up to Krishna, hurrying towards Krishna and saying, so they allowed their sons to go, and so it was their emotions, but they didn't express from outside, but it was emotion is important. You also gave Parikshit Maharaj.
How to deal with the different devotees? Gunadhikam mudam lipsayat, that's loka you can.
Gunadhikam mudam lipsayat. Anukrosham gunadhamat. Nice. Anyone else?
Vaishnava character, you said about the three things that seed, proper seed, fertile soil, and watering is required. Then out of that seed is the bhakti seed, which we get from Guru. And fertile soil is like that Vaishnava character. And watering like continuously chanting and hearing.
Exactly. Anyone else? Yes, Bhagavan Panditji.
Matras versus the Kantayu verse that, but Shitoshno one can tolerate, but more than that, praise and Sukha Dukha, that is important. And when you give the example of Sanat Kumar Prabhu, in Bhagavatam there is extreme of tolerance is given, but in our level, we should try to tolerate, like sometimes you come, there is no prasad, you tell someone, he forget, and you should not angry, okay. That level at least we should exhibit, then gradually.
We can always exhibit these qualities to certain degree. And slowly make an endeavor to improve our ability to exhibit these qualities, to imbibe these qualities. Anyone else wants to share anything? Atma Vidya Prabhu, you want to share anything from the previous discussion?
We had many examples like which we should look upon and try to imbibe their characteristics and follow their behavior. For example, this Haridas Thakur, and who was beaten, and but also the prostitute example, that his character was so exalted that he transformed her very fast. And I also remember the point with the soil, that we can get the seed from the spiritual master, and we can have the water of Shravanam, Kirtan, etc. But if we don't have the soil, the qualities, then it will not grow.
Correct. Okay, thank you. You have Vakrishit Prabhu, one last devotee.
We see also the tolerance in two level. One is external level, one is internal level. Internal level is really tough in the sense it, because in false level we have to mind, arch of mind. External level is easy in the sense practical, so tolerance in the practice, tolerance by the raganuga.
Take those things literally and don't quote me for that. You understand the context. Vaidhi Ragan. So basically we need to be very be cautious in cultivating the right attitude and mood of a Vaishnava. It's easier said than done, certainly, but we can't avoid it, right? We must make an honest endeavor to the best of our capacity to fine-tune our mood and consciousness and emotion. That's a very important element in our practice of devotional service. Sometimes, as I was saying earlier also, somebody may not be very expressive. He may not get the right words. He may not have the right vocabulary to express himself. He may not be very refined or experienced in dealing with multiple people. Right? He may be very naive and simple-hearted. But when you deal with such a person for a while, you will understand his attitude is nice. Although his expression is poor, although he is unable to put his thoughts or his desires or proposals in words, still he is able to, he has a very pleasant mood, consciousness, because the vibes are there. Right? You will be able to trust him. Arey, man mein kuch nahi yaar. Bolna aata nahi, but his mind is clear. Right? So you can trust such a person if he has right attitude. However, on the other hand, someone may be very smart in dealings with people. Someone is extremely polished in his speech. He has good vocabulary. He has good experience. He has good public speaking skills or interacting with multiple people. But at one point, if you just see that, oh, this fellow is little smart. And what is that called? Shana. He is over smart in dealing with people. Iska sath thoda careful rehna padega. And new people, they can speak in a very mesmerizing way. New people will get attracted to it. But seasoned people cannot trust such people who are little duplicitous or externally they are very polished, but internally they have their own agendas. Right? But on the other hand, someone may not be very expert in dealing and expressing himself, but internally his consciousness is nice, then people will trust him. So definitely expression is important. We need to behave in a very polished manner, but even more important than that is we need to at the consciousness level, at the attitude level, at the internal level, we need to really polish our attitude. So we have seen some definitions of tolerance. Tolerance means that one should be practiced to bear insults or dishonor from others. So as I mentioned earlier also, all these Vaishnava qualities they are not mutually independent qualities. There is a quite good amount of overlap between qualities. Now we discuss about tolerance. In the next class we'll discuss about forgiveness. And in the next to next class we'll discuss about humility. Then compassion. So all these are there. But if you see, all these have a nice overlap. So they are dependent on each other. They are interdependent. It's not that one person has this quality 100% and this quality less. You may have like that in talents. Okay, he's very good at designing, but he's very poor in writing. His left brain, his right brain. That all these are there. But as far as Vaishnava qualities are concerned, there's a lot of overlap between many of these qualities, and one quality is generally dependent on the others. A humble person will be able to tolerate, and he will be able to forgive. Right? So, as we are focusing on developing certain qualities, one quality may be, other qualities also grow along with that. Right? They are not mutually independent. So now, this tolerance, we are focusing mainly on tolerance now. Right? Other topics we'll definitely discuss. But others are also included in this. Forgiveness is accompanied with tolerance. At the end of the previous session, I was just mentioning that you externally tolerate, but internally if you also have forgiveness, that's a liberating experience. But internally you are unable to forgive at heart the other person, but externally you are tolerating out of helplessness or out of modesty or out of being politically correct or just proving yourself as a great person, whatever it may be. Without that internal forgiveness, externally you are just maintaining tolerance. That tolerance will not survive for a longer time. It's good, definitely. Fake it till you make it is there. But faking it with no intention or endeavor to making it, that's a problem. Right? Faking it till you make it is there. Means we, although we don't have it, we endeavor to it. As a part of our endeavor, we try to manifest that quality, although it's not there yet, completely. Right? So, you don't have enthusiasm, purposes, act enthusiastically. Eventually you will develop that enthusiasm like that. So, but that should always be accompanied with an intention to cultivate it. When the hand is pressing accelerator but the mind is applying brakes, how long the gadi will continue to run? Right? You stop the braking, stop braking business and then put accelerator, then it will go ahead. Right? So, we need to somehow bring in the internal mood and external expression, internal emotion and external expression closer, as close as possible, right, as time progresses. The word titiksha or tolerance indicates that a transcendentalist must be forgiving. It's indicated. The material world is full of embarrassing and irritating situations, and unless one is inclined to be very much forgiving, he will become infected with a vindictive mentality. Vindictive means very malicious and negative mood, which spoils our spiritual consciousness. This is from 11th canto, Uddhava Gita. Not Uddhava Gita, Niminava Yogendra Samvad. And in Uddhava Gita, there is another important point. Tolerance means to patiently endure unhappiness, such as that provoked by the insults or negligence of others. One must also sometimes accept material inconvenience to carry out the injunctions of scriptures. So there are other perspectives. So in the 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, Krishna teaches Uddhava the art of tolerance with a beautiful example. Earth. We learn the quality of tolerance through Mother Earth, observing. So there is a one beautiful section called 24 Gurus. That also we can conduct like a nice retreat where both batches come together. We'll go through all 24 Gurus. Then when you go out and find out your own Gurus, come up with proper lessons in line with the parampara, not speculative insights. So one guru that Krishna presents out of 24 gurus is earth. And the main lesson that Krishna gives through this earth example is tolerance. Right? So many people are conducting, performing so many demoniac activities, They are out of greed and out of commercial interests. They are drilling oil. They are having atomic explosions, pollution, lush forests are cut down. So many things are happening. But still Mother Earth tolerates all these people. Right? Mother Earth doesn't just give them up. So like that, just like Earth continues to provide different necessities to the humanity and to all the living entities living on Earth's surface, despite so much of trouble created by those living entities. So a sober person, even though he is harassed, he understands that, he tolerates with an understanding that aggressors are acting helplessly under the control of higher powers. The understanding behind the external tolerance, the internal understanding behind the manifestation of tolerance quality is everybody is acting according to the laws of nature, laws of God, and under the influence of some higher powers. Prakritehi kriyamanani, gunehi karmani sarvasaha. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyati. So prakriti is controlling us. The modes of material nature are controlling us. Under the influence of certain mode, somebody is acting helplessly. For example, now I am active, I am speaking now. After a couple of hours, I will become sleepy. When it becomes 8:30, 9:30, I will just feel sleepy. Now if you ask me some question, I will answer. Right? Because it's a part of the class. It's my duty to answer. Right? It's my role. But you come at 9:30 to my room and ask me some question. I may not be able to answer peacefully. You come at 10:30 and ask. By the time I already slept. Right? You knock it, bang, that. It's quite possible that I may not only not answer your question, I may even chastise you also. Why? Same person. Time changed. I am under the control of material energy. Because of the time factor, I am influenced by Nidra Devi. I am supposed to sleep. My body needs rest. And if you just come and influence me and disturb me while I am taking rest, then how can I respond to you properly? Right? Some other response will come out. So I gave a very gross and crude example. But the import of this statement is everybody is being controlled by some power like that. Right? Out of the influence of modes or nature or God's laws or whatever, different people are acting in different ways. Although they may not intend to act like that, still they act like that sometimes or many times, quite often. So understanding that, understanding the cause behind this external manifestation of this unpleasant interaction of this person, we forgive them, we tolerate it. Aray, wo janbuch ke nahi kiya. There's some reason behind it. If only we can trace out the reason, somebody is causing me some problem, some difficulty, and I don't have the ability to tolerate that difficulty that is caused by that person, I immediately get on his case. But if only if I can just take some effort to think what is the cause behind this unpleasant activity done by this person, behind it there is some cause. And behind it there is another cause. Behind it there is some other cause. Ultimately you trace out Krishna is the cause of all causes. Every time we may not be able to philosophically reconcile like this. We may have to externally address also. However, externally we'll address, we'll do the needful according to the time, place, circumstances. But internally, if you don't have that philosophical mature reconciliation, and if you just focus only on external address all the while, we cannot grow. Right? We should have a mature vision internally. And we should also switch it off. My phone, you can switch it off. So externally you should be able to do the needful, but internally you should have that mature vision. Right? So two things you can do. You have to do. External address and internal reconciliation. Right? Internal reconciliation is the tolerance at heart. Right? That maturity that we have. That what is that called? The forgiveness that we maintain in the heart. External address is, we have to do the needful to rectify the situation. Although we have the internal tolerance, that doesn't put us out of the realm of responsible action. Right? So, tolerance is supposed to be all-pervading in the existence of a practitioner. Right? So, a sober person hates the sin, not the sinner. So, you don't hate the person, but he's doing some mistake, you do the needful. You can't tolerate his mistake. You should not be tolerating that mistake. If you are definitely having the responsibility to rectify him, you should not tolerate that mistake, and you do the needful. But internally, you don't hate him. You forgive him. You accommodate him. You be kind and compassionate to him. Like that. Same thing we also expect. We do some mistake, and someone takes an action against us. Right? But what is our expectation? I realized my mistake, and if only he forgives me, that's nice. I'll admit my mistake, and I will promise that I will not do this mistake. I did under some helpless conditions. Right? So if he can continue to accommodate me, that's nice. We feel good, right? Same thing we should be able to do to others also. Right? That's what equanimity is. We should be able to see other people equal to us. Now, the lesson that we take from tree is, tree doesn't protest even if cut down or dragged away. Tree continues to give service to others in the form of firewood. Krishna glorifies trees. Etavat janma safalyam dehina meha dehishu pranair ardhair dhiya vacha shreya acharanam sada. Trees have dedicated their prana, life, artha, their wealth, dhiya, their intelligence, vacha, their words. Means basically he's telling us about human beings. So trees just dedicate their entire existence to serve others. They give shadow, they give fruits, they give flowers, they give firewood. And even if you cut down the tree, even if you don't give water to the tree, it doesn't ask, it doesn't protest. So tree is our benchmark, right? Tree sets a standard of a Vaishnava's tolerance. Oftentimes this is quoted. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya quotes this example of tree. Sahishnuta. Sunichatva Sahishnutva. Sunichatva is humbler than blade of grass. Sahishnuta means to tolerate. So, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Girtanaya Sadaharihi. We will be able to chant the holy names of Krishna with love for Krishna, with attraction, with attention, to the extent we have these qualities. Humility and tolerance. And respecting others and not expecting respect from others. Why my japa is spaced out? Check these four qualities. One important parameter to check is, do I have sufficient humility and tolerance and respectful attitude towards others? Then my japa will be proper. There are other parameters also to check. This is like one important parameter. So ability to chant holy names. You just give jab to 10 people, 10 other devotees, and then I'll chant holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Is it hota hai kya? Nahi, not possible. Right? The displeasure of another Vaishnava will act as a curse upon us and will not allow us to focus on the holy name or on the service or on the deities or on the dham, any five potent forms, or on the study of our Bhagavatam. We may study Bhagavatam externally, right? We may memorize verses also, but it doesn't get into the system. We can't absorb it to the extent we displease other devotees. You see, in Dhruva's episode, Dhruva Maharaj killed so many yakshas. And Swayambhu Manu came and taught him, you should not be doing this. For one person's mistake, you killed so many people. How can you do this? Go and beg forgiveness from Kuvera. So Dhruva went and begged forgiveness from Kuvera. And Kuvera said, I am pleased with you, don't worry. You did not kill anyone. It's actually the time factor that killed. Similarly, Yakshas also did not kill your brother. Time factor killed. So, no problem, don't worry. So ask any benediction. Kuvera is the wealthiest person in the world. But Dhruva Maharaj asked him the benediction that, please give me unflinching remembrance of Krishna. Definitely Dhruva is a more advanced devotee than Kuvera. right? Your Siksha Guru comes to you and asks you, please bestow me, please give me the benediction of unflinching remembrance of Krishna. And you say, Tatastu. Hota hai kaisa? So definitely Dhruva is a superior Vaishnava. He had darshan of the Lord and his ticket to back to Godhead is booked. Right? It's confirmed. Seat confirmed. Manu came and told, don't throw away your boarding pass by killing so many yakshas. So you should act according to your position. So now when he asked for unflinching remembrance of Krishna from Kuvera, Jiva Goswami explained this logic there. He says that Kuvera's people were killed by Dhruva. Naturally, there will be some displeasure in the heart of Kuvera. The displeasure in the heart of Kuvera could become an obstacle in Dhruva's remembrance of Krishna. So when Dhruva asked Kuvera, please give me the ability to remember Krishna without any deviation, what does that mean? It means that please don't hold any grudges towards me. Don't be displeased with me. You please forgive me from your heart. When you are completely pleased with me, when you can completely forgive me, not just external tolerance, internally also, when you will be able to completely not take my action seriously, then only I can remember. Because the displeasure of you will act an obstacle as an obstacle in my Krishna's smriti. Right? That's what Jiva Goswami explains. And that's what Swayambhumanu also tells. Swayambhumanu says the displeasure of great souls like Kuvera will act as a curse on our dynasty. We are great people. Who can cause any harm to us? We are great Vaishnavas. We are advanced Vaishnavas. I am 10 years old in the moment. Or I am 20 years old in the moment. This fellow just came 5 years back. How can his displeasure act as an obstacle in my remembrance? Yes, anai. Right? Less advanced or more advanced, the other's displeasure can act as obstacle in our Krishna's memory also. Right? Remembrance also. So now you see there are so many examples of devotees who exhibited tolerance. I think while tolerance I just went and elaborated a few more things. So Bali Maharaj gave everything to Vamanadeva. He gave Vamanadeva royally cheated Bali Maharaj. He said, I want 3 steps. And Bali said, "Arey, I can give you wealth with which you can live for 10 lifetimes. You are asking me 3 steps. It doesn't befit you. It's an insult to me. Right? Ask something more. And what steps? You are such a small boy. You are so small. And your 3 steps are much smaller than a grown-up man." Right? And Vamanadeva very confidently gave a big seminar on principles of satisfaction. If I am not satisfied with 3 steps, I will not be satisfied even if I get entire 3 worlds in my possession. And he occupied 3 worlds in 2 steps and asked, where is my other step? Right? That's the irony of Bali Maharaj's story. And in spite of being royally cheated, Bali tolerated everything. And after that, Vamandev told Bali Maharaj, you have not given me the 3rd step. You are a victim of Anrita Dosha. Means falsity. Your statements are false. You are supposed to be punished. Varuna Pasha. Varuna Pasha came. And Bali Maharaj was completely coiled with that snake. He is completely arrested. Brahmaji became so compassionate on Bali and he came to his rescue. He said, "Hey, enough. You have sufficiently humiliated him, embarrassed him, insulted him. You please stop this now." But no, he owes 3rd step to me. And Bali Maharaj is not at all agitated in that situation. Then Vindhyavali comes and criticizes Bali Maharaj. She says, "Hey, you should not be criticizing." So Bali Maharaj is still sober. And some of the Rakshasas, they try to attack Vamandev. And Bali Maharaj says, no, time is not favoring us. We should tolerate this situation. So you just keep quiet, relax. So although so many people are provoking him and encouraging him and coming to his rescue, still Bali Maharaj was not in an agitated state at all. Then Vamandev is thoroughly impressed with Bali Maharaj's devotion and he said, "Your ability to tolerate has captured my heart. I become your doorkeeper in Sotala planet." And whatever other things, pastimes, other details of pastimes are there. When you come to 8th canto, you can study. But here point is, in spite of being humiliated thoroughly to such a degree, Bali Maharaj exhibited the quality of tolerance. And we have the example of Avadhut Brahman. Avadhut Brahman is a wealthy person, but he was a little miserly, and all details are there. But in that context, the lesson that we get there is, a sober person, even when harassed by other living beings, should understand that his aggressors are acting helplessly under the control of God, and thus he should never be distracted from the progress on his own path. See, other person is also influenced by kala, karma, swabhava, daiva, and so many factors influence a person, and they act in a different way. And ultimately, they are all influenced by God. Right? So kala, time influences us, deha influences us, karma influences us, swabhava means our nature influences us, and the climatic conditions will influence us. So many things influence us, and ultimately we are under the influence of the laws of nature and the laws of God. So he is acting helplessly under all that influence and causing us some trouble. So that's his acting in an unpleasant manner towards us is basically because of his being influenced by all these factors. And a transcendental plan behind this is, we are supposed to receive certain treatment because of our own past deeds, because of Krishna's plan for us. And this fellow is just giving us that treatment. And the treatment that we deserve is coming through this person. Why should we hate such a person? What's the need to hate such a person? There's absolutely no need. If we just caught up within the circumstantial interactions between human beings and fail to understand the cause behind causes, he is influenced by some factors, and I deserve certain treatment, and this treatment is coming through him to me. Why should I blame him? I should be able to tolerate it. Responsibly we should address. That's an external detail. That's a dutiful platform. But internal, if our external address is not accompanied with internal reconciliation philosophically, we end up in the material plane only. We continue in the material plane. But if we can go one step behind and see a transcendental plan, this is because of my past deeds. Right? I didn't get this privilege, or I went through this difficulty, misery, because of Krishna's sanction. Without Krishna's sanction, not a blade of grass moves. Right? And because I deserve some misery, that's why it is coming upon me. So I should be able to tolerate it. When I tolerate it, actually Jadabharat was carrying the palanquin of whom? Rahugana. So while carrying palanquin, what was Jadabharat thinking? He thought that I am exhausting my impious credits. So when Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Sitoshna Sukha Dukkhada is there, so what does that mean? We should be able to tolerate happiness and distress. What's the mood behind the tolerance of happiness and distress? That is, devotee tolerates happiness thinking that he is exhausting his pious credits. And he tolerates unhappiness thinking that he is exhausting his impious credits. By getting distress in my life, my sinful baggage is getting diminished. By getting happiness in my life, my pious baggage is getting diminished. I should transcend this piety and impiety on a material platform and come to the transcendental platform of rendering service to Krishna. That's the ultimate understanding of a devotee. And this externally tolerating happiness distress, that becomes a very simple detail in his life. So Markandeya Rishi, he was doing his tapasya. I mean, all these poor people, they are simple brahmanas or sages or some devotees doing their tapasya, and seeing these people, Indra gets insecure. This is a common theme, recurring theme in our scriptures. Indra becomes insecure. He sends Cupid, lust and pride and so many women to Markandeya Rishi to seduce him. Markandeya Rishi tolerated. He did not become a victim of anger. generally when sages are disturbed by Indra, Indra sends Menaka, Rambha, Urvasi, Tilottama, Marisha, like all these apsaras, heavenly beautiful women, so he will send. So many times the sages will either be victimized by lust or anger. One of these two things will happen. So once Vishwamitra was victimized by anger. Second time he is victimized by lust. One of these two things will happen. Either they will conquer lust, they will not be seduced by those women, but they will become angry and curse them, and they will lose their powers. But Markandeya Rishi was not victimized by either lust or anger. He could tolerate these two urges. Right. Now Parikshit Maharaj, Tiraskrita, Vipralabdha, Shapta, Shupta, Hatavapi, Nasyatat Pratikurvanti, Tad Bhaktaha, Prabhavopihi. So in the context of Parikshit Maharaj, this beautiful verse is spoken. Tiraskrita, when a devotee is rejected, or he is cheated, Vipralabdha, Shapta, he is cursed, Kshipta, he is disturbed, Hatavapi, even if he is killed also, devotee tolerates it. That much we are not, we cannot manage that. We know the ideals. As I said in the previous class, we are discussing principles. We are knowing what are the ideals which are manifested by our great personalities in the scriptures. And we know where we are, we assess where we are, and we take our baby steps to reach that place. Right? So you don't have to feel, yesa karna hai kya? We discuss the practical things also. You can always ask questions and all. What is at our level we can exhibit. So Parikshit Maharaj did like that. So Parikshit Maharaj did not condemn the entire Brahmana race because one Brahmana cursed him. On the other hand, Parikshit's son Janamejaya, he condemned the entire snake race because one snake bit Parikshit Maharaj. Right? See the contrast between these two characters. But the good thing in Parikshit Maharaj's son Janamejaya is, as soon as Brihaspati came and told him, you should not be doing like this, he stopped. Sometimes devotees also may get into certain moods, and they may just give in to certain emotional outbursts. But the good thing in devotees is, they hear from good counsel from experienced people and they control themselves. Ambarish Maharaj did not move an inch when Durvasamani created a fiery demon to kill Ambarish Maharaj. What Ambarish Maharaj did, before Durvasamani arrived, you know the whole story. He just took a drop of Charanamrit. It's as good as not taking anything only. But still, Durvasamani became extremely envious of Ambarish Maharaj's great position. He was overwhelmed with superiority complex also. I am a Brahman and a Kshatriya. How can he insult me? And he created a fiery demon. And that fiery demon was burnt to nothing. Anything will be burnt to ashes. But fiery demon. If you burn fire, then what will happen? You will not get ash, right? It is burnt to nothing. So fiery demon was burnt to nothing. And Sudarshan Chakra started chasing Ambarish, Durvasamani. But Ambarish Maharaj was able to tolerate throughout the situation. And he could not tolerate, Ambarish Maharaj could not tolerate when Durvasamani after 1 year came and fell at his feet. Aray, you are such an exalted Brahmana, how can you fall at my feet? I am a fallen Kshatriya, please. And he told Sarvadarshan Chakra, if at all I have some pious credit, some piety, some devotional credits, take all of them and protect this Brahmana. To tolerate the insult is at one level, to forgive him is at another level, and to act for the welfare of the person who offended us, who caused harm to us, who tried to kill us, that's really height of tolerance. Right? So first level is, you just tolerate externally, you don't speak anything. Second, you actually forgive at heart. Third, you start thinking about others' welfare also. Right? To think in this, to go to such a degree will take a lot of time. Right? It doesn't manifest overnight. But we should understand the stages. Right? So, we have Prahalad Maharaj. Small boy, what he has done? He is chanting Hari, Hari, Hari. Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. But Hiranyakashipu subjected him to hundreds of difficulties. He tolerated all of them with smile. he is completely dependent on Krishna. Haridas Thakur, he tolerated insults. Now you see this Ramachandra Khan, he is extremely envious of Haridas Thakur's position. Haridas Thakur is respected by so many people. People worship him. People take guidance from him. He is an exalted Vaishnav. But Ramachandra Khan could not tolerate the fame of Haridas Thakur. How to defame him? By making him a victim of lust. He called prostitutes and he sent one prostitute. And if Haridas Thakur is caught red-handed with a prostitute, all his fame as a devotee will be ruined, will be burnt to ashes. And such a malicious intent to degrade someone, make someone who is an exalted Vaishnava to prove that he is a victim of lust. He is having connections, illicit connections with prostitutes. That's such a big master plan to defame a Vaishnava. But at heart, Haridas Thakur was able to forgive this Ramachandra Khan. And he waited there, tolerating lust. It's not a question for Haridas Thakur only. When this prostitute came and exposed a part of her body in front of Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur was not at all disturbed at all. Raganuga. Right? He mastered it. He doesn't have to control her. Natural. You sit here, chant. I will chant. After my completing rounds, I will fulfill your desire. And he's chanting. Making her also chant. 3 days like this. 3 minutes one may be able to tolerate. 3 days continuously, full nights. He is young, she is young, he is beautiful, she is beautiful, no one is around. It's not a small thing. We can say and discuss this, but it's not a small thing. Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur did not have to put any effort in it. He effortlessly did not become a victim. But greatness is did not stop there. Oh, he did not become a victim of lust. He could tolerate the urge. No, tolerance is another question. He could think about the welfare of the prostitute. Actually, when Ramachandra Khan was scheming against this prostitute, against Haridas Thakur, on that very day, Haridas Thakur wanted to leave. Arey, this fellow is envious of me. Why should I cause any insecure feeling in someone else? Why should I increase someone's negative attitude? Let me just clear this place and he can stay peacefully. Haridas Thakur wanted to leave that place, Banapol. But he stayed back. Why? Because Ramachandra Khan was sending a prostitute, Haridas Thakur stayed back just to deliver this prostitute, just to convert her into a great Vaishnavi. He stayed back. So to that extent, Haridas Thakur is a great Vaishnava. So Shiva was insulted by Daksha. Daksha said, he is a monkey-eyed rascal and he has no manners. He is auspicious only in name. He is putting all the crematory and ashes all over his body. And he is insane. He is associated with insane people. He is kind to insane people. And insane people are only his fans. No sane people will become his fans, his worshippers. He is such a degraded person. Only Brahmaji pushed me. That's why I gave my daughter Sati to Shiva in marriage. Otherwise, Shiva is not at all qualified to become my son-in-law, Jamata. He has no qualification. And I curse him that he does not have any sacrificial share in the oblations, sacrificial oblations. And he left. Shiva did not speak a single word. He tolerated the urge to curse. Tolerate, that's natural for him. It's effortless for him. And Nandi could not tolerate it. When another Vaishnava is insulted, you should not tolerate. When you are insulted, you can tolerate for yourself. Nandi could not tolerate. Nandi cursed. And that angered Bhrugu, and Bhrugu cursed. Just to control this situation, Shiva just left. Right? And on the other hand, Jadabharat, there is another example of tolerance. Jadabharat was an extremely knowledgeable, self-realized devotee. In his previous life, he was a deer, very advanced devotee deer. And in the previous life, he is King Bharat. There are three Bharats: King Bharat, Deer Bharat, and Jada Bharat. Right? Deer Bharat is more advanced than King Bharat. Jada Bharat is more spiritually advanced than Deer Bharat. But Jadabharat is maintaining such a low profile that although his father is trying to train him in principles of brahmacharya or doing some achaman, basic achaman, achaman sikhane ke liye 4 mahina laga. And still he did not learn. Gayatri also he could not learn. He is unable to learn even achaman also. Not that he cannot learn, he is beyond all of that, but he is thinking that if I just show some reciprocation to my father's training, I may get caught up in some material attachments. Right? He is tolerating that. he is not tolerant. Effortlessly he is doing. So he is unable to take any chance. Any slight possibility that I might get deviated from my focus on Krishna, I will not entertain that. So although father is so affectionate, he could not do it. Now, after father died, his stepbrothers, 9 brothers are there, they stopped his education. Father tried so much to educate him, but this fellow will never learn anything. No point educating him. So he should just work, physical work. He is looking stout and strong. People will engage him in crop work and some other thing, field work, etc. And what would they feed Jadabharat? You take out rice, you cook rice in pots, not in cooker, where it doesn't get burned in the bottom. You cook rice in some earthen pots and the bottom gets burnt. So you take the nice rice and you eat it, and whatever is stuck to the bottom of the pot that becomes brown or black, that is given to Jadabharat to eat. And Jadabharat is eating that and surviving based on that. And people are considering that he is a dumb fellow, mad fellow. He has no intelligence. He has no cleanliness. His Brahman thread is always black. His body is always dirty. His clothes are soiled. So he looks really shabby to people. And people are just chastising him and ridiculing him and insulting him. But Jadabharat never tried to prove himself. When you are knowledgeable and 100 people are telling that you are a fool, you are a rascal, I mean, how can we tolerate that urge? We feel like proving, I am not like this, I know everything. Right? He is ko ABCD bhi nahi, aray ABCD aate hai mere ko. You start speaking in English in front of him. Right? So once I was very small, maybe 4th or 5th standard, something like that. So my cousin sister, she was singing some Hindi song in Andhra. Andhra Hindi not so much is in, at least in the areas where I was grown up. She was singing a Hindi song. And my aunt was telling my mother, see, my daughter is singing, very small, my daughter is singing Hindi songs, very advanced. Can your son sing any Hindi song? Actually, I didn't know Hindi much. But somehow I managed to hear just one line of Hindi song, just to prove that I also know Hindi song, I just sang it. That one line, and then left from there. If they ask me to sing the next line, I don't know. Right? Just to prove myself. So when you know something, even if you don't know something, if someone points you out that you are a fool, you can't accept it. You have to prove yourself that you know something. But Jadabharat knows everything. But he did not feel the urge to prove himself. Right? And it was so natural for him. For us, we need to practice it. So when we don't do some mistake, and if people point out or people just find fault with us that we have done some mistake, so that natural tendency to prove oneself. But Jadabharat was not at all into that. Right? So he tolerated the urge to prove himself, because he is completely liberated. So Avanti Brahman tolerated all the harsh words, Nayam Janome Sukhadukha Hetor Na Devatatma Graha Karma Kala. We can discuss the verse a little later. So the key verse for this tolerance is Tatenu Kampam Susamikshamanu Bhunjana Evatmakratam Vipakam Hridvagvapur Bhir Vidadhan Namaste Jivetayo Muktipadesa Dayabhak. So one tolerates the difficulties or reversals in life, thinking that they are all reactions to my own past deeds. And actually I deserve more punishment, more reversals in life, but still Krishna is so kind upon me that he is minimizing my misery and giving me only token punishment. What I should do? I should just dedicate my body, mind and words and actions to the service of Krishna. He will continue devotional service and he will continue to tolerate the difficulties in life, and thus he will advance in bhakti. Right? But if we try to address, and if we don't tolerate the miseries, and if we try to address the misery, if we try to get on the case of people who are apparent causes of misery, we are just increasing the tenure that we already have in this material world. Right? External address is sometimes needed. Responsible action is needed. But understand, that's on a duty platform, responsibility platform. Right? To address the things externally. But internally, if we maintain grudge, you punish a person who is mischief monger, who has done some mistake. If that is your responsibility, do it. You have to do it. There is no doubt about it. But if you maintain personal grudge towards him, right, if you take things personally and fail to see Krishna's hand behind this happening, then we get entangled here. Right? So responsible action should always be backed up with a mature vision and understanding, a broader perspective. We can't be narrow-minded and just getting caught up in the circumstantial outbursts and then small details of these negative circumstances that happen. Right? So we cannot fail to recognize Krishna's plan. Right? So Bhagavatam describes so many such stories. Prabhupada just describes tolerance as the ability to forgive even when we are offended. Now there is one important thing that is very much relevant even at our stage. We discussed many examples of people who are very exalted, who they exhibited tolerance. Now, we get honor and we get dishonor. We discussed a lot on tolerating dishonor. How Ambarish Maharaj could tolerate the dishonor or insult done by Durvasa. How Parikshit could tolerate. How, who is that? Jadabharat could tolerate. How other people could tolerate. We discussed all of that. Dishonor, tolerating dishonor or difficulty or reversal. But a greater challenge is tolerating honor. When honor comes to us, naturally a conditioned soul will become a victim of pride. So many people are worshipping you, glorifying you. Are you up, ye hai aap, wo hai, aapne humko khilaya, aapne humko pilaya, aapne humko ye kiya, wo kiya. So people just start glorifying you, left, right, center. There is no one as good as you. Sometimes people will gallify you also. But sometimes when we are glorified, what is our response? Glory also transfer to Krishna, transfer to other Vaishnavas, transfer to Guru, transfer to the Parampara. If we fail to do that, if we fail to transfer the honor that we receive to the people who empowered us, who blessed us, who brought us to this position, we become victims of pride. Right? If we cannot tolerate honor, we become victims of pride. If we cannot tolerate dishonor, we become victims of depression or insults, or we may just develop certain grudge and envy towards people. Right? Or to put it in a simpler way, if you cannot tolerate honor, you may become victim of pride. If you cannot tolerate dishonor, you may become a victim of envy. Right? People naturally envy or hate people who caused them some difficulty, who dishonored them. You get into revengeful attitude. That's what happened to Dhruva. Dhruva could not tolerate the insult done by Suruchi. He was very revengeful towards Suruchi and Uttama. Uttama, he is passively involved. He is not actively involved also. But still Dhruva had a very revengeful attitude towards Uttama. And he saw Uttama as an enemy. But later he regretted for it. The devotional service transformed him. So if you cannot tolerate dishonor, we may become envious. We may become hateful towards other people. And if you cannot tolerate honor or respect or worship or praise, we can become proud. And once you get into pride business, you start developing superiority complex, you start ridiculing other people, you minimize them, others' position, and your eyes will become here, eyes will go here, head ke upar jayega sir, eyes will be, you will look like this. Right? If someone does a mistake, mistakes are good sometimes. Right, somebody does a mistake, he bends his head low. Vaktram niniya bhaya bhavanaya sthitasya. Because Krishna did an offense towards Yashodamayi. Vaktram niniya, he bent his head low. Eyes will look down. And don't bring Krishna to our level, I'm just telling. Someone who does a mistake will bend his head low. But someone who is puffed up with pride, he will look like this. Upars. Right? He will not, he cannot look down. Vaktaram niniya nahi hota hai udhar. He will sat. I mean, don't take things literally, but basically people will become proud. They can't look down. Like that. So we need to tolerate that. We need to tolerate the urge to judge others also. Sometimes when we are proud, there is a quite possibility that we may see envy in others. Are you both envious, sir? He is envious about me. He is envious towards me. We say that or we feel that when we think that we have something to be envious of. Right? That's our pride. He may be envious also. That's a different thing. That's between him and Krishna. But you thinking that he is envious could indicate some pride in you. And if you think that he is proud, other person is proud, that could be your envy towards him also. Right? Actually he may be proud or actually he may be envious. That's a different thing. That's a different topic. Point is, when pride comes in our heart, when we see envy in others, we should first think, is there any pride in my heart? When we see pride in others, we should see, is there any envy in my heart? We should check for ourselves. That's the first check that we need to see. As soon as we see someone proud, see, am I envious of him? Check for yourself. As soon as you see someone envious, see, am I proud? So that's the check that we need to do. It's very difficult on the spot. Either shanti se baith ke, all these things we can discuss. But when the circumstance comes, how do we respond to that circumstance? Shows how mature we are. How much we have absorbed things in our system. Right? So that's why sometimes we do mistakes all the while. And the flavor of mistakes and the degree of mistakes may change, but we are work in progress. As I was telling yesterday to the junior batch, we are work in progress, we may do some mistakes. We may not repeat the mistakes, but we can remember the mistakes. You know why? Tomorrow, if we do something great, we may become proud. At that time, we can remember, "Arey, last week only I was so lusty, my God, so many lusty thoughts came in my mind. Last week only I was so proud. Last week only I became, just 3 days back I became angry with him. Just 10 days back I did this mistake. Last month I did that mistake." So the remembrance of all those mistakes will help us not to become proud when we do something great, something good, something that attracts praise and appreciation of other people. But if you don't remember the mistakes, we may not repeat the mistakes, but we should not forget the mistakes. So His Holiness Radhakrishna Swami Maharaj says, if you have not committed any mistake in the last 50 years, regret for the mistake that you have committed 51 years back. Right? Because that remembrance of that mistake will make us regretful. And that regretfulness for that mistake will help us not become proud and callous. Right? And we should not be so regretful for the mistakes that we become a devotee of depression and we don't proceed in our devotional activities only. That we should not get into extremes also. But that's nice. That's important to get into that. So, I'll just conclude with 2 points. It's already 6:30. One is... I just forgot. All the devotees that we just discussed, they are able to tolerate these circumstances. Prabhupada writes one statement in the Krishna book. Who is great? Someone who is wealthy, he may be great. Someone who is famous, he may also be great. Someone who is very strong, he is also great. All these people are great people, but actual greatness is A person's greatness has to be estimated by his ability to tolerate the provoking situations. When a temptation comes, when a provoking situation comes, if we can tolerate it, then we are great. If we can't tolerate it, then we are not great. That's a very nice definition that Prabhupada gives in Krishna book. Now, where will that ability to tolerate that provoking situation come? Right. We can tolerate and we can become great. But how will you tolerate? All these people, Dhruva or Prahlad or Avanti Brahman or who is that? Jadabharat or what? Ambarish Maharaj, Haridas Thakur, Srivas Thakur. He tolerated in that Gopal Chapal incident or many other people. How could they tolerate? We can tolerate to the extent we have some higher taste. So, now, again, His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj makes this point. We hanker for name, fame, credit, influence, appreciation, this and that, when we are not fulfilled at heart. When there is no inner fulfillment, we hanker for external pleasure. Right? When there is no pleasure externally, we should tolerate. When can we tolerate that? When there is inner fulfillment. Right? This is the immediate corollary. After you hear that statement, the next statement, the understanding that should follow is, when there is no inner fulfillment, you seek for outer pleasure. When you don't get that outer pleasure, you get frustrated. But when will you not get frustrated? When will you be able to tolerate when you get some unpleasant experience externally? When there is inner fulfillment. And where will that inner fulfillment come from? When we actually relish the glories of Krishna. When we actually take pleasure in hearing and chanting the names of Krishna, the glories of Krishna, the pastimes, fame, activities, Bhagavatam, holy name, like that. Ultimately, things boil down to, I can tell you, we may conduct so many classes now on Vaishnava qualities and all. All these are rooted in one basic principle. Back to basics. If we can only take the prescribed process or regimen given to us by the acharyas, eventually these qualities will come, will manifest in our personality. The prescribed things, chanting, early morning chanting, or association thing with devotees, and studying Srimad Bhagavatam, rendering services to other Vaishnavas. So when the basics are taken care of, five potent forms. What are five potent forms? Vaishnava Seva, Srimad Bhagavatam, Dham, Holy Name, and Deity Worship. Five potent forms. There are nine processes. What are the nine processes? Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, etc. There are 64 limbs of devotional service. You don't enumerate them. I also don't remember all 64 at this point. But everything boils down to this 5-9-64. Just remember this 5-9-64 formula. When we come back to this 5-9-64, the qualities will manifest. We will be able to tolerate, we will be able to develop humility, this and that. Everything has a simple solution. So, we can tolerate reversals in life to the extent we are truly sheltered at heart. Right? When we really seek shelter. Because so when something happens externally, when some difficulty that we face, because there is an insecurity in this person who is receiving that experience. Right. Arey, what will happen to me? Abhi kya hoga? Kabhi kya hoga? Hua, nahi hua, kya farak padta hai? If you are actually rooted in the basics, you are actually, basically everybody is looking for that satisfaction. And where is that satisfaction coming from? Ahaituki aparatikata seva, devotional service. Right? It's very tall order. But ultimately that's what it is. Bhagavatam opens with that. Savai pumsam paro dharma yato bhakti radhokshaje ahaituki aparatikata yayatma suprasidati. So ahaituki apratihata, when our devotional service is rendered without any selfish agendas and personal motivations and ulterior desires, and without any desires for interruptions or breaks or sabbaticals, then we will get happiness. Ayatma suprasidati. There is complete happiness that is promised. Right? So when we are not deriving satisfaction in our devotional activities, we should go back and check these two things. Is my motivation correct? Or am I having any breaks in my bhakti? Break matlab raat ko sona padega. That's not the break. But am I desiring to stay away from devotional service, a longer break or a harmful break? So this, that one needs to check that motivation. Then tolerance, forgiveness, patience, then compassion, all this will follow. We need to always remind ourselves the basic things, and we'll also meditate on these qualities. Okay, fine. These are few thoughts based on some Shastric points, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and teachings by contemporary acharyas. Thank you all very much. Any questions or comments, clarification? Yes, bro.
There is a lot of talk nowadays about Swabhav and Varnashram. Certain core nature of a devotee doesn't change actually. And we hear Shastric examples also. Both Nanda and Vasudeva are fathers of Krishna. Nanda Maharaj is a very simple person. Vasudeva is diplomatic. He is Kshatriya kind of a person. Prahlad and Dhruva, both are 5-year-olds, great devotees. Prahlad we know is a very simple. Dhruva has certain nature. And just now it clicked to me, Dhruva was, like revengeful, fiery. After having darshan
even
of the
darshan
Lord,
also, yeah.
It did not change kind of.
Correct.
So I was thinking how, for us also I have seen, certain core nature jata nahi, certain Kshatriya nature ka person. Din Bandhu Prabhu is like very simple. It doesn't get fiery.
Very simple.
But I at times, get that fiery and...
Some are non-spicy devotees, some are spicy devotees. Some are fanatics, some are non-fanatics.
How this tolerance,
Tolerance? What is that tolerance?
Struggle, sometimes who has that other nature of, So for him, sometimes it's difficult to practice tolerance.
Okay. So, one thing is there, to my basic understanding, I'll just share my understanding. This nature of a person, when he is a very advanced devotee, like for example, Chaitanya Charitamrita compares the natures of Gadadhar Pandit and Jagdanand Pandit. One is having Vama Swabhava, one is having Dakshina Swabhava. So the living entities, the jivas, or whether they are eternally liberated living entities or whether they are conditioned living entities, that's an acknowledgement to personalism that every person is unique, everybody has a different nature, different flavor of acting, right? When it is about the associates of the Lord, like Jagadanand Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit, or Satyabhama, or Rukmini, or Radharani, or Chandravali, this or that, so they are in a totally transcendental plane, right? That's different. Bhima and Arjuna, Yudhishthir is very mild and gentle. Bhima is very fierce and outrageous. Arjuna is somewhere in the middle, balanced, right? He can adopt like that. He's like not too much dharmatma like Yudhishthir also. He's not so aggressive like Bhima also. He's somewhere in the middle. So when it comes to the associates of the Supreme Lord, like they have their natures, that's wonderful. So we have no comment about it. They don't have to change it also. They don't have to do anything. But as far as sadhakas are concerned, we are practitioners. Our basic formula should be anukulasya sankalpam pratikulasya varjanam. Whatever is favorable for our advancement in devotional service, we try to adopt it. We try to cultivate that. Becoming angry and aggressive is not very favorable for my bhakti. Let me cultivate some tolerance and patience and peace and other things. Right? And sadhaka means he should make a honest endeavor to cultivate these good qualities and attitudes. Yet, the swabhava or the nature may not change so much, but at the attitude level, that's what I was emphasizing a lot on the intention part, emotion part. Expression may manifest in different ways, but internally, the mood has to be really mature and well-wishing, with a well-wishing heart. But sometimes one may just get little overexcited. Some people are introverts, some people are extroverts. Some people speak very less, they are mitabhashi. Some people just speak, aya to bas, his presence is felt by the entire room. 100 people, Premanjan Prabhu comes inside the ashram. He is there karke pura dunya ko pata chal jata hai. He speaks, right? I mean, that is his nature. Somebody is like, very mild, very poor. You see, our Gaur Sharan Prabhu is there. He doesn't speak only. He went to America now. So like different people, Rajahams Prabhu, my God. His presence is not felt by anyone. Although he's sitting there for last 10 hours. Right? So some people are excited, some people are less. But at intention level, when you say tolerance, and you can say a mild devotee also can exhibit tolerance. And a overexcited or extrovert devotee also has some tolerance. But the flavor of manifesting the tolerance is little different in different ways. Right? Premanjan Prabhu also can exhibit tolerance. And Rajahams Prabhu also will exhibit tolerance. But their flavors are really different. Right? Dinabandhu Madhusudan Prabhu also can exhibit tolerance. And who is the most excited person here around? Sivarat? Who is most excited in your batch? Whoever. Let me not. So these are like flavors we can just just relish. Maja lelu. Different people are there. If everybody is of the same category, that doesn't mean look, there is no excitement in our interactions amongst devotees. But when different people exhibit these qualities in different flavors. Right? Everything is ice cream only, but some is strawberry flavored, some are mango flavor, or chocolate flavor, whatever. Chocolate without that, whatever objectionable thing, I don't know all that. This is my little understanding. As sadhakas, we need to cultivate attitudes and qualities favorable for our advancement in devotional service. But the way those qualities manifest or do it, less really appear in our personality, is actually little influenced by our own overall prakriti. Now we are, as I said earlier also, right in the beginning also, we are all controlled by God, our laws of nature. A Vata Prakriti fellow, a doctor just caught my nadi here. 4-5 years back, I went to Ahmedabad. हाँ बहुत तेज से सब चर सब चीज बहुत तेज से करना चाहते हैं. Is it correct? Yes, I am a little passionate. How do you know? Right? So you become really fast. You want to do things very fast. आपका वायु प्रकृति. ठीक है. Some वायु प्रकृति fellow, he is too passionate. He can't sit like this. He is into movement, and he wants to do things fast. He wants to complete things fast. Some other person, kapha prakriti, oh, hilta hai nahi aadmi. Right? He will sit there and he doesn't move fast. Right? He does not, like if you tell him, he doesn't get shocked. He doesn't get overexcited. Who react honne ke liye bahut time lagta hai. Very calm, cool, sober. Building gir rahe. Gir rahe kya? Barabar hai. Vayu prakriti, build gir rahe kya? Arre, bata hai nahi. Pitta prakriti wala gussa ho jate. Pitta prakriti means he becomes extremely angry for small reasons also. And he start getting into chastising all these people, right? But we are controlled by prakriti. So somebody is fast, somebody is slow, somebody is angry, somebody is aggressive, somebody is mild. But that's as far as bodily constitution is concerned, all these are there. But these qualities of tolerance, humility, forgiveness, patience, they are actually the core qualities which are like much deeper. Not just external nature or manifestation or outspoken or introvert, extrovert. That's not the thing. That's a different thing. Those swabhavas are different. But tolerance means an extrovert also will exhibit tolerance in a certain flavor. Introvert also will exhibit tolerance in a certain flavor. Vata Prakriti fellow also will exhibit tolerance in a certain flavor. Then Pitta Prakriti fellow also will exhibit tolerance in a certain flavor. I don't know if I confused or if I, this is my little understanding. But these are core qualities that every Vaishnava should endeavor to develop. But the flavor in which they manifest is different and unique to a person.
Also, once explain that actually you cannot change your nature. It is very difficult. Means it is unchangeable actually. But Acharya Jayaraghi Rupa Goswami gave first instruction. Bacha Begum, Manasa Krodha Begum, Jiva Begum. Why he gave this instruction? One should tolerate. He explained that Sahanya Bega, Asahanya Bega, means Dharanya Bega. Like if you feel tolerant, you should not tolerate that. Means Adharanya Bega. One should not control some urges and one should control some urges.
Correct.
He explained. So it should be controlled because our nature say we cannot change our nature, but what things should be controlled, he say, because they are giving us instruction, he explained.
Correct. Some things are pertaining to body, that's fine. Vata Prakriti person cannot tolerate urge to eat. Right? Something like that. So some things which are needed, we should do it. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, we saw the examples.
And definitely there is something more to it, Prabhu. My understanding is very limited in this. Some senior devotee can give a more satisfying answer.
We saw and encourage to follow the examples of great devotees exhibiting tolerance. Why does Prabhupada not encourage the action of Draupadi when she exhibited tolerance when her sons were killed and she didn't want to kill Ashwatthama?
Okay. If I got you correctly, why Draupadi exhibited her Vama Swabhava
why Prabhupada don't encourage the actions of Draupadi being compassionate?
Correct. You see, even in Bhagavad Gita also, Prabhupada supports Arjuna in one purport. After a couple of purports, he says, no, he's weak-hearted. Right? We need to see the context in which certain statements are being made. Context is very important. Yes, when we say Draupadi is able to forgive, we have that six things, right? Sakarunika and all these parameters are there. When Draupadi is able to forgive, that's her great heart. Although she herself is affected, she is thinking about the feelings and emotions of another mother, Kripi. I know the pain of child's death. Why should I give same pain to Kripi by killing Ashwatthama? So she has her logic, which Yudhishthira Maharaj also supported. So from that perspective, what Draupadi thought was nice. She is able to tolerate and she is able to forgive. She is able to release him. But there is another angle to it. Another perspective is, a miscreant is supposed to be punished. If he is not punished, he will create more mischief. This Arjuna, Ashwatthama was released and he only released another Brahmastra to kill Parikshit Maharaj. Is it not? Right? So from another angle of being a responsible king and administrator, so from that angle, punishment is necessary. That's what Bhima is emphasizing on that. More emphasizing on that. But Draupadi is emphasizing on more on compassion side. So now when Prabhupada is supporting, say, Draupadi, he just approves her compassion. But when he is writing something against Draupadi's action, he is having this in mind. Oh, a miscreant is supposed to be punished. Right? So, but both are supposed to be taken care of.
But then why we don't disagree with the trees for so tolerant for miscreants?
See, when you are we don't have one single meaning for all these scriptural episodes. We can't see things from one angle only. We need to see from multiple angles. When we quote the example of tree to cultivate tolerance, for our personal application, we should be as tolerant as a tree. Right? That's very important. Right? At heart, we should be having that. But sometimes, we may have to address things. Right? There, you cannot exhibit tolerance. You are not supposed to exhibit tolerance to cause more welfare to people. That's what, throughout the class, I have been discussing that. Externally, we have to address things, but internally, we should also be maintaining that mood, not developing any grudges. For example, you were asking about a tree, right? Tree exhibiting tolerance. If a tree example is not quoted to emphasize the tolerance, which is like extreme degree of tolerance, how will we at all understand and appreciate the quality of tolerance and the extent of tolerance? I'll give you two examples. Number one, Srivas Thakur forgave Gopal Chapal. What did Gopal Chapal do? He kept some Kali worship paraphernalia at his doorstep and tried to prove that Srivas Thakur is a Kali worshipper. He wanted to defame him. He wanted to insult him. He wanted to bring down his image and honor and prestige in the society. And what did Srivas Thakur do? He opened the door and he called all the people. Aj, see, this is what I am doing. Whole night I have been doing this. And he himself, although he did not do that mistake, he is claiming that I have done this mistake. Srivas Thakur personally agreed and admitted, although he did not do it. And nobody believed him. So now, Srivas Thakur's point is, from Srivas Thakur's side, he was not at all concerned about his public image. It was not necessary for him at all. What people think about me doesn't make any difference. I am absorbed in my Sankirtan. I worship Lord Gauranga. I chant holy names throughout the day. Whether someone acknowledges it or not, whether someone thinks of me as a Kali worshipper, it doesn't make much difference to me. On the other hand, Krishna is there. Krishna was pointed out by Satrajit. Satrajit said, "You are a thief and you have stolen butter in your childhood. Now you are stealing Samantakmani's. Right? You have killed my brother and you have taken my Samantakmani. You know that story? In the 10th canto, what did Krishna do? Yes, I have stolen. Did he say that? No. He said, "Give me some time. I will prove myself innocent." Why? And on one side, one personality is exhibiting tolerance and is oblivious to his public image. On the other side, another personality is asking for an opportunity to prove his innocence. The context, both are correct. Both are extremely opposite actions to the same opposite reactions to the same kind of stimulus. But both are valid because Krishna, as a Kshatriya, he is supposed to protect his public image to cause welfare to the citizens only. As a Kshatriya, he is supposed to set the right example. If people have misunderstanding about other people, about kings or sannyasis, so one should not unnecessarily allow people to misunderstand them or have their good name ruined. So he's supposed to protect the public image. That's done with a good intention. At intention level, both are pure. But expression level, somebody exhibited indifference towards this insult. Somebody took it very seriously and then worked on it and then proved that he is innocent. Both are valid responses. Getting right? So, extreme examples are there in scriptures. We need to have the maturity to apply them in the right circumstances. Sometimes scriptures say, "Bahujanma kare yadi shravana kirtan tabuna paibe krishna padi premadhan." Although you chant for millions of lifetimes, you will not get Krishna prem. On the other hand, "Kamvadayalum sharanam vrajema. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jighamsaya paya yadapya sadhai. Lebhe gatim dhatri uchitam tatonyam kamvadayalum sharanam vrajema." So, who is more merciful than Krishna? He delivered Putana, although she came with a malicious intent to kill Krishna. Right? even a demoness who tried to kill Krishna will attain Goloka. That's one extreme. Other extreme is, even if you chant and hear for millions of lifetimes, you will not get Krishna Prem. That's another extreme. We need to understand when to apply what. Somebody is very callous in his devotional service. He is quite spaced out. He is very proud. He is overconfident. You can't quote him, Kamva Dayalum Saranam Vrajama. You should tell him, Bahujanma Karayadi Shravana Kirta. Somebody is already depressed. I am useless, I am waste. You should tell him, Kamva Dayalum Saranam Vrajama. Don't tell him, Bahujanma Karayadi. He will be more depressed. Right? So what we need to do is, acharyas have given us a regimen. They prescribed a process. Chant 16 notes, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, worship the deities, associate with devotees, study Bhagavatam. So to the best of our ability, we try to increase the quality and quantity of the process, prescribed process that is recommended by our acharyas. When we are getting depressed, take support from Kamva Dayalam Sharanam Vrajayama. When you are getting overconfident, take caution note from Bahujanma Karayadi Shravana Kirtan and then focus on this balanced path. Right? If we take extreme examples out of context and then make them universally applicable, then we may just create some imbalance. Getting right? What we need to do is what is prescribed to us. Makes sense? Like that. So Draupadi's Vama Swabhava, when it is supported, or Arjuna's compassion is supported, there is a context to it. Right. We need to see the context in which the statements are made. Same thing, nature also, maybe it's a contextual meaning, the word, when you say nature cannot be changed, so that nature, yeah, the basic thing may not be changed, right? The flavor in which a person expresses, but the qualities are there, which are supposed to be cultivated as per the recommendations of acharyas. They fine-tune our emotion, our intention, our consciousness, our attitude. But the way we express may be a little different. And that's a little external detail many times. I'm not completely sure. Anyways, thank you all very much. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत की जय, श्री प्रभुपाद की जय।